Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the webcomic Beacon. This is festworks.com, and with me are my co-hosts, Tanya Higgins of Betapone.com.
Hello.
And also Aaron Lewis of TVOLcomic.com.
That's me.
And we got a special guest this week, Mike of OnyxSparrow.com, I think.
Yeah, that'd be it.
And also WagonWebcomicBattle.com, which is a webcomic trading card game, which we will be talking about presently. Mike, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here. Love the audience that you have.
Awesome. And tell us, what is Wagon Webcomic Battle?
Wagon Webcomic Battle, it's a collectible card game that's entirely based off of webcomic characters and story plots. Basically, just getting down to all those little details that only come out of webcomics, all the jokes, all the little things that make webcomics different from anything else on the planet. We're going to make fun of it going through this game and, you know, get it out to people that have never even seen webcomics before in a whole new genre.
I very much like this idea as soon as I saw the ad pop up on the webcomic Beacon. I was like, hey, this is cool. Not that I've ever played too much of trading card games. Is it similar to any existing trading card games?
A little bit. I've seen a few of them and I've gotten a couple different things. It's a little like a Yu-Gi-Oh! That you get to summon characters and then you can upgrade characters into more powerful forms and such.
Okay.
But then it also gets into a shield kind of a system, almost like your Beyblades and stuff like that. It's just got a little bit of elements of all different things and kind of mixed them in there in a new way.
Okay. And let's see here. Where did this idea come from? How'd you decide to start it up?
It really came around because I used to be part of a webcomic awareness group that they had this like Comics Day thing every year.
Oh, yeah.
And and they basically were looking around trying to find how can we get webcomic awareness out to new people and, you know, talk about it and get more people interested in. I figured, I mean, the target audience for really webcomics is, you know, the younger teenagers, the college kids, things like that, and what else do they do? And I was like, they play card games, so why not make a card game made of all these characters and story plots? I mean, you've got, you know how many comics there are out there. We have an unlimited amount of, you know, material to work with, so we might as well, you know, get it out there and bring it to people that maybe not don't even know webcomic that well, you know, in a whole new way.
All right. So you started signing up various webcomics to design essentially the first cards.
Yes.
Is the Zero Pack is what you got?
Yes, the Deck Zero, the premiere edition. Out at the moment.
And you're taking pre-orders for this one right now?
Yes, I am.
All right. And did you post in the forum, or were these like people that you kind of knew, and you're like, psst, hey, I'm doing this. You want in?
It was a little bit in that direction. I've been part of the communities for a while. I was part of the Buzz Comics community, God rest its soul. It's kind of defunct at this point. But
yeah.
Just, I met a lot of really great people with some great talents, and I was like, these guys, I knew they would be in the middle of it, they would be involved, so I just kind of sneakily went around and talked to a few people, didn't want to spread a lot of word out there and get a lot of hype, I just wanted to start building that first deck and say, okay, is this a feasible idea or not?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the really great people I got, they came together and supported the idea enough to trust me to, you know, use their stuff and make this first deck, and it's here.
Okay. I did talk to somebody else today about this, and they said it's an interesting idea, but he doesn't see it taking off. And now I can understand this cynical point of view because because he was saying there's a lot of web comics out there and this is just a very small drop in the bucket, but I don't think that means that it's doomed to fail.
No, I don't think at all. I mean, you've seen how many games and things out there that are based on other things, mm-hmm. and some fail as it is. But, I mean, when you get into some of the sheer talent of some of the webcomicers out there and the beauty of some of their artwork and their storylines and the things they come up with, and most people don't even know they exist, I mean,
right.
There's just unlimited amounts of talent out there to work on something like this. And I really think that, yeah, once the public really gets to know it's really there and they can check it out, I think, it might not be the biggest thing in the world. I'm not taking on Japan, but
yeah.
I think it'll have its place in the world eventually.
No, and this is Aaron. I had a question for you. It doesn't seem like it would be too horribly difficult if you could keep things basically perma-balanced if you just kept up in the decks little by little, and then you could say, okay, you want to do a character, this is how much he's going to have to hit for, et cetera, to keep it balanced, but you provide the art of your main character, and this is what he's going to be doing, so you write the sentence or whatever to keep it on par with everything, you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah. It's really when I go through and get to make these cards, I really do talk with the comic creators themselves. I keep them very much into the creative process of what their cards are actually going to be. They have to follow, they have to have the feel of the comics they're coming from. They have the same jokes. They have to convey the flavor of the comic they're coming from.
But so, then you work with them to keep it balanced at the same time for the rest of the deck, right?
Oh, yes. That's definitely the issue that comes up is taking these great ideas, and then I have to make sure their cards are going to be balanced with the rest of the system. So, yeah.
Right.
It's part of the thing that the game will never be automated. There will never be a form to fill out, and we'll just crank out cards. I'll always have my hand in the game, making sure it all works and it's all balanced and everything's good. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, in looking over some of these cards, it looks like you have it looks like you've done a good job, coming up with the card stats, having them match the characters somewhat, too. So, I mean, it seems to be a nice balance, not just within the deck, but also between their vision and the card game.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most difficult parts of any of it. Once we get the basic ideas, I can sometimes spend months looking at these things and going, okay, how are these going to react to these other cards when they're in play? Are there holes in the plot? Are there, are there issues that are going to crop up that are like loopholes in the rules that are going to screw up if we don't do this card right? So,
have you ever come across a card that you need to make and then sought out a webcomic character that would fit it?
Pardon?
Have you ever known you need this card to fill in this kind of hole and then sought out a webcomic character to fill it? Have you ever had that kind of a crunch?
Not really at this point. A lot of it really is on the fly, kind of, okay, I see the character, what does this character do? Okay, and I think of a power that goes with it.
Oh, okay.
I'm a really impromptu kind of guy, so I'm really good at going looking at this thing and figuring out what to do with it. So it's really just kind of making it up on the spot as we go through it, make sure everything's balanced. It all goes back to my role-playing days. I'm just good at making sure everything fits together at the last moment.
Nice.
Before we get some more questions, I would like you to go through the types of cards that are in this deck, because I don't think we touched on that yet, and it's probably helpful.
Sure. No problem. Yeah, that would probably help a little bit. There are three mains of cards. Well, yeah. There are three kinds of basic cards. You have a character card, plot devices, and bandwidth cards. Your character cards are, you can probably guess, they're the characters from webcomics. Each one has an offensive and defensive abilities. They have special attacks and special abilities, and they have attributes, which describe what the cards can do and how they react to other cards. The main character groups are genres, which they go along with webcomics, that you have fighters, shooters, mystical cards, and geeks, which cover your, you know, video game playing, couch sitting.
Right.
Kind of weirdos. Because any kind of character you can think of, it can't fit in this game. It doesn't have to be a fighter or anything like that. We'll take anybody you've got. Beyond that, we start getting into plot devices, which are kind of like our trap magic cards. Basically, objects or situations that come up in a story plot that will affect the game.
Cool.
Yeah, they're either a weapon or an item, or they're a situation. Like a zombie attack that's, okay, all of a sudden, you know, all the humans come out of your graveyard and start attacking another player's character. I mean, it all kind of works together eventually.
Yeah.
And, yeah. The third we have there is the bandwidth, which is basically like our money system. Summoning certain cards and using certain abilities, you have to spend bandwidth to do so. So,
I like you just have,
so you just kind of, you know, discard them whenever you need them and, you know, use more powerful items. There is a fourth kind of card, but we haven't officially introduced it into any of the cards in the works at the moment. It's kind of experimental. It's a boosted character, which is basically a character that you have to do certain things before you can use them. You either have to have a weaker version of the card on the field first, and then you can use that to upgrade it, that kind of thing. But we don't have any of those finished yet, so...
So, are you kind of thinking like say, if a character transforms or something like that, or and they need another card in order to do that, or is it more complex than that?
It is basically like that. It's like, how would it work? It's like if you had an item, or if you were like trying to raise a demon or something like that. It's part of the story plot of your comic. And right. So in that comic, you had to have these three items or these three things happen before that demon showed up. Well, that would mean that you would have to have those three cards, and once all three cards of those are there, you can discard the three of them to make the demon appear.
I summon Exodia!
Yes, exactly.
Or like, kind of going back to, you know, you were talking about the similarities to Yu-Gi-Oh! Where you have to play three different kinds of monsters in order to be able to summon a higher level monster, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And, but some of them are, you know, not as complex as that. It's basic upgrades. Like from my own comic, because my comic is in the first deck, Prepare to Die. We have a character called Some Guy. He's a generic NPC.
I love that one.
Yes. He's my happy little guy. He's generic. He doesn't do anything. He just stands there. He doesn't have any attack power. But eventually there will be a boosted character called Ninja Gaiden, which will be his upgrade. Yes, into a red ninja. That will be his upgrade eventually to actually make him useful.
That's funny.
Which is, you get used to that. My entire comic is very large cornball punny kind of stuff. It's just kind of what I did. Oh, you did? Okay.
We do.
I've spoken with you through emails that. Looking to set up for, you have two other decks in the works, an alpha and a beta.
Yeah.
I should mention right now, if you want to get in on this, deck zero isn't going to last forever. It's going to be just the pre-orders and that's it, right?
Yeah. Basically, we're going to the pre-orders and we're going to do pre-orders until alpha and beta are ready to release. And then deck zero is going limited edition and that we're not going to make any more. So, yeah, definitely going right into collectability. We'll never make Deck Zero ever again. we might re-release those cards again, but in different formats. There'll never be a Deck Zero limited edition anymore.
Cool. Yeah, I was talking to you with, and you said, what do people want to do if they're interested in getting in on the future decks? What are some of the qualifications that you're looking for? Obviously, you gotta limit yourself because you probably might get a rush after this show.
I would certainly appreciate that if I did. You know, I've had some people coming in, but we're always looking for more. You know, after Alpha and Beta, we'll be going into Gamma and Delta. So I'm already planning to go into that direction. Let's see here. We actually had them laid out in the website. Basic criteria is, one, you have to have a decent archive under your belt. I mean, a new little comic that has like five comics in it isn't really going to do anything. Just because if somebody sees your card and decides to go to your website, they're going to need something to read. They're going to need something to hook them into the story. And right. So I can't go through and make this card that's going to be distributed all over the place for a comic that's not really doing anything.
Right.
It's kind of silly after a while. Next thing, the address for your URL, unfortunately, has to be like 25 characters or less in length, just because I can't fit that many letters on the card.
Right.
There's only so much space to put on there. So, you know, if you've got some huge, you know, address, unfortunately, we have to find a new way to cut it down. Let's see. I insist that people with webcomics have to prove they're updating on a consistent basis. I mean, if you take hiatus, thank you. Taking a hiatus or a vacation, that's fine. That's great. Everybody has to take a break. But, you know, you have to prove that you're in it for the long haul and you're not just going to disappear 2 days later. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I hate to have to do it, but you have to have at least some level of artistic ability.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of comics out there that, I'm sorry, just the comics or their websites look bad. And if I'm going to be making cards that are high quality, you know, prints of these things, I think it should match up to the quality of the other guys that are putting the effort to make these cards, too. So.
True, but I can think of maybe at least maybe two or three cards exception for one particular horribly drawn comic.
Polo Couch.
Yes, World's Worst Webcomic. I don't know, I kind of think maybe one really bad comic could make up for all of them.
I just want to see a high-quality super rendering of an Evil Couch comic.
He's done. He did that for Christmas.
Oh, I missed it. Damn it.
I'll link it here in a minute.
Excellent.
Yeah, that is a little bit different, though. Yeah, there are exceptions. If, you know, if Evil Couch wants to come along, certainly we can work something out.
Plot device. You know, your mom joke.
It's about you alone.
Yes. Your mom joke would be a fantastic, you know, stop any character in the tracks. Your mom! I mean, that'd be great.
You have to shout it, too.
Yes, you have to shout it out loud, and it will stop any attack in its tracks.
Or maybe the cards cost, you actually have to come up with a your mom joke.
Yeah. It's a skill bonus. Yeah. You have to come up with your mama joke before you complete.
Yeah. The possibilities are endless for these things.
Oh, yes.
I would have no problems in working that stuff out.
Go ahead.
It's like, beyond that, there really aren't that many other restrictions. I mean, I'm pretty open to anybody coming along, and if you've got a nice comic with a nice story, you know, I'll give almost anybody a couple cards.
Yeah.
I got no problem with them to love.
I was talking to you earlier about PSI and Ardra possibilities.
Indeed.
And a little bit of, I'm not going to go too much in depth, it's more like general stuff, but what I've been doing, I've been trying to come up with ideas for plot devices relative to, said comics and character designs. And I'm going to be, basically what I'm going to be doing, and I think this is a good idea, and you correct me if I'm wrong, of course, for other people when they're submitting their ideas, you kind of come up with your characters. It kind of figure out the attack and defense, and if you can't figure out how much each, like maybe if you want to emphasize that the attack should be more than the defense, that'd be a good thing to note. An ability that's relative to the webcomic, kind of type up and write it up how you kind of want to explain it, and basically just give a lot of information to you and make you do all the work to figure out how to put it into a card.
Yeah, that's usually the better way to do it. Yeah, I'll definitely take any suggestions. It's true. I mean, I'll take any suggestions people have. you want to suggest characters, you've got ideas for plot devices, special abilities, I would love to hear any of them. But yeah, ultimately I'm going to have to make sure it balances and fits into the game.
Right.
So I'm going to have to make modifications. But all cards, before they're released into the system, will be showed to the comic maker and, you know, approved. I'm not just going to toss things out there without anybody knowing about it.
But we've come to the part where I have to ask what the rating level is on the cards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can think of some superpowers, but I don't know that you want.
Yes.
So. I'm definitely keeping the cards to a PG-13 level or below.
Now, I might add, though, if you go with Tanya's idea, it will sell more cards.
Oh,
I'm just letting you know now.
Yeah. There was a little bit of talk in the early stages with a few people about eventually releasing a more adult-rated deck.
Yeah.
That'd be like the underground deck that would we can go after, like, Ghastly's Ghastly Comic and things like
that's
that.
That's cool.
See, that'll be the deck that funds the rest of your decks, though.
Indeed, yeah.
Actually, I think Josh Lesnick would agree with that. That'd be cool if you could get him on in on that, too, when that eventually probably maybe comes around or not.
When you want to make money on this, then
I'll work on some PG-13.
Tanya, maybe a plot device card for you would be like censored or something.
Oh yeah, you could have just censor bars. So that would
I could.
There you go.
It would stop somebody's attack or something.
Definitely, that would work. We can work. Yeah, we can come up with something for that. No problem.
Oh.
You know. The frustration card, just...
There we go, yeah. Cold shower cards.
Yes. Discard your entire hand and, you know, draw new cards. You know, frustration. It's funny.
That's pretty good, actually.
Screw it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Aaron, what about you?
This is going to be fun to play. It's funny already, and I haven't even looked at all the cards, so... I mean, that would be a blast after a con. Get everybody together in a con suite and play. Yuck.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to set up a wagon convention somewhere, and we can all just play cards. It'll be a good time.
That'd be incredibly nerdy.
I will show up.
You're nerdifying an already nerdy thing.
No, well, and this reminds.
It's not like we're playing strip webcomic battle. I mean, geez.
Anyway, Aaron, what were you saying?
No, this reminds me of another one where it's like a joking, like Magic, but they're joking cards and you have to do silly stuff. But no, I like this a lot.
Yeah,
so.
It's fun.
Did you want to know, like, what kind of cards I would...
Yeah, since we've been talking about ours.
Sure.
Well, my character's based a lot around sarcasm, so... There would be lots of sarcasm-based cards. You have to, like, say something really stupid with a straight face and both mean it and not mean it at the same time.
Or the attack fails.
That's just a fabulous idea.
If you get confused looks, then, you know, you won the roll. If not, your guy dies.
You have to toss your hand and redraw.
Yeah. Did they look confused? No. Oh, you gotta redraw. Crap. And that's what you have to say. You have to say crap and throw your cards down. Your sarcasm
didn't work. And then the other players get to pick them up.
Yeah, your sarcasm didn't work.
You lose your card for the entire game. You don't get it back at the end of the game either. You fail.
No,
epic fail. That should be a card.
Yeah. Epic fail.
Oh.
And then you need to say a whale.
Get up and walk away. You're done.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break right now, and when we come back, more stuff.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
I meant to talk to you guys about doing fake sponsors to and stuff to see if we can get actual sponsors in.
Yeah, that's what we did last episode.
Yeah, I heard that. And you made it kind of hard for me to cut the show because when you come back from break, you're still laughing. And since then, there was the minute break and casual ramblings or the minute break and then, like, the webcomic review, and you're still laughing, but you go right into topic while laughing. So I really couldn't cut the laughing out. So it was still pretty good.
We stayed up for hours, trying to figure out how to just screw it up for you as much.
Well,
as
that's really easy. You just don't cut the episode.
Just never stop.
Just like right now, I said we're in break, but we're already back from break right now because I figured we lose so much good stuff during the break. I figured just say break and keep recording.
And it's kind of hard too. Like last time, I went to break. No sooner did I go to break than Tawny's dog comes in, starts licking his balls, and so how am I supposed to like not comment on? It's like Tawny, okay, it's your turn to say what the episode's brought to you by. And she's like, my dog's licking his balls. What am I supposed to do? Like, not say anything?
It's brought to you by Rupert's Cleaner Balls.
It's your dog ton ball cleaner now, only $39.95. At www.dogballcleaner.com.
Okay, now that we lost maybe 50% of the audience and gained 10% more of a different audience.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh.
There are kind of people.
Whoops.
Oh, soon we'll talk about porn.
No, right. Not yet.
We'll get them all back.
I still want to talk a little bit more about the Wagon Web Comic Battle trading card game. Mike?
Yes?
One thing that we were talking about as maybe a special thing was doing a few Jenny Everywhere cards.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And I'm gonna announce this on the show as a contest that we're going to be setting up. I'm on the shifterarchive.com, which is essentially where you can find almost anything and everything of Jenny Everywhere. I'm going to start a contest for people to have 30 days to draw up their own Jenny Everywhere card. And all the details will be there. Basically, first, second, and third will be winners. First place, I think Mike is looking at making as one of the rare cards. That's not going to go into a particular deck, but be given out as promos or put into booster decks.
Cards.
Yeah. And the second and third place would go into, like, second place would go to the alpha deck, the first one that's going to be coming out, and the third place one would see the beta deck, right?
Yes. That sounds like a breakdown to me.
Sweetness. Yes. And it'll basically be making sure that the winners will receive at least a copy of their card, if not a whole deck of their card. And I think I'm going to be saving one of my pre-ordered for my the Zero decks or ordering another one and give the person who gets the first place the Zero deck and their rare card.
That would be sweet. I could probably swing decks for the winners. I think I can pull that off.
Okay.
I know the printer. I'm sure I can get a couple more made.
Cool.
So I had kind of a silly question. I'm sorry, Fest.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can you do, like, foil cards or hologram cards or shiny edges around the cards or for, like for holidays or whatever, like, have holiday cards? Or?
Not really at this point. Something like that takes, you know, embossing machines and things like that, and it's expensive, and you have to mass produce that kind of thing, and we just don't have the budget for some. I'm using a small local printer who's giving me a great price on making this card.
I was just wondering, because, like,
it might get complicated.
My first cards were like Marvel back like in 90, and they had the sweetest like hologram cards.
Oh yeah, I've got a set of those actually myself. I won them during a Blockbuster video game tournament kind of thing.
Oh, sweet.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog 3 in NBA Jam. Oh yeah, it was a good time.
Wait, couldn't you just get like an embossing machine and just randomly foil them by hand, like once in a while?
Sure, no problem. Anyone who wants to donate to the embossing machine fund can write.
No, I'm sorry, I was Vermont.
He doesn't know how much things cost.
Yeah.
And Tanya, can I have a beanie? Like with my character.
Not making any damn beanies.
Damn it.
Okay.
I want a beanie.
Foil cards I may be able to do for you though. We'll talk later.
I got a question for you, Mike. Does your printer have the ability to make a card with fancy or special stuff, maybe, you know, like an
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I mean,
like, do they have at least the ability?
I don't know if they have the ability in house, but okay. If I wanted to pull something like that off, I could probably talk to somebody else. I do actually, there is a local guy that does embossing seals.
Okay.
I might be able to talk to somebody about something like that. But
okay.
At this point, I haven't looked into it too
okay.
much.
Okay, if it may work, and if maybe if I help out a little bit, maybe we can make, like, print one whole deck of, like, one whole embossed deck, at least one whole embossed deck of that first place Jenny Everywhere card, and maybe you could look into the price, and maybe if it's doable, maybe I could pitch in for that as well.
Yes, I need money for my project too.
Sure.
No, this yeah. You're not going to get money out of me.
Yes, I am.
I'm selective about who I throw my money at.
No, you're not.
If anything, I know that I could probably look into getting some kind of embossed seal made.
Mm-hmm.
That basically work like a sticker, and we could put it on the cards.
Okay.
But yeah, to generate the entire card, I have no idea how something like that could cost.
Or like the border or something. But, you know, it's just something I'm throwing out there. I'm willing to help out a little if I can. So.
Sure, that'd be great. If we could pull something like that off, that'd be fantastic.
Cool.
Just add that, the shininess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
people love shiny things, yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about shiny things. I have the kid of chaos. You don't know anything. I know all about shiny.
I'm launching a custom printing company that nobody knows about, so shh.
Well, do you want to talk about it a little bit?
A little bit, but I don't want to give the site address or anything, but we're going to be doing customized silk screening and customized printing, everything from flyers to CD jackets to...
beanies.
Buying cars and no freaking beanies.
No. Do you have like this equipment, or are you kind of just being the
equipment?
Are you being the publisher, or do you actually have the equipment to do this?
We have the equipment to do this.
Hmm.
Static clings.
And we're making static clings and bumper stickers and all that stuff. And we're also going to be acting as American as stateside distributors for foreign webcomics and bands.
Cool.
And also doing baby doll shirts for people who have regular shirt designs but can't afford the front cost of baby dolls.
Hmm.
First day of Comic-Con, all the information will be out there. So.
Pay your customers.
When do you think you'll have the information ready for like going public with that?
Probably... I can probably...
A year?
Just... Webcomic Beaker listeners, I could probably do it the week before Comic-Con. So it'd be, Comic-Con is the 25th, which is when we formally launch.
Of June?
Of July.
Oh, of July. Okay, we'll set something up and you can spill the beans on the show. We'll try to coordinate it maybe with something else too, but yeah, that's definitely newsworthy for the Beacon, and obviously since you're a co-host, you can get away with that too.
Yeah, pimp whatever the hell I want.
You can sponsor yourself.
That's right. That Beacon will be sponsored by name of company I'm not saying yet.
Tonight's webcomic Beacon is sponsored by me. I get
it. It's actually sponsored by Fess right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And subsidized by me.
Yeah.
We're talking about cards. I'm sorry.
What are we talking about, cards? Is there anything else you want to add or finish off with the trading card game, Mike?
No, I think we covered most of it. I mean, we're really going through it right now. Building the website out, looking for more questions, fleshing out the rules and everything. So if anybody had any questions, any details they would like to know more about, I would love to hear from you guys and, you know, so I can, you know, get everybody all the information they could ever want, and, you know, we'll just start cranking out cards pretty soon, hopefully.
And hurry up and pre-order those Deck Zeros.
Yeah, before they're all gone.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Order now.
How much are they right now?
The Deck Zero right now is selling for $10 plus shipping and handling, which is, you know, $5 anywhere in the U.S. and $8 anywhere on the planet right now.
So I had a stupid question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Ask your stupid question.
Sweet. Okay, so I'm playing, like, the devil's moronic advocate. So,
sure.
Let's pretend, like, you think that my comic's so cool that you let me do a couple cards with you.
Okay.
Where does the money go that you end up getting from selling these cards?
At this point, it's still paying off the initial setup fees and everything for, you know, setting up the forms and everything for printing them, and it's really going to be going into paying for the website, advertising, and making more cards. I mean, at this point, I'm making a very small amount on each deck, and it's really going right back into the system to keep expanding it out. So
the artists are doing this as free advertising
promotion.
Yeah, that's pretty much the breakdown. Every card carries copyright information and the URL of each individual comic maker. So, yeah, you let us use some of your stuff to make a card, and you get free advertising everywhere.
So everyone understands that so far that you've been working with?
Everyone I've been talking to, yeah. And, yeah, I have no problem if one day this thing gets larger. I got no problems in, you know, seeing what else happens if it goes to a higher level.
Okay, I was just checking. I'm just...
Because the question's bound to come up anyway, so... No, that's fine.
Oh, that's cool, yeah, I mean... Yeah, that's always the point. It's, yeah. That was really the point in making... Yeah, that was the point in making this whole game in the first place, really, was the advertising aspect of it. Because the idea really is that some kid plays the game, and he really likes a certain couple cards, and they can go follow a URL and go to a website that has an entire story about that card. So, I mean, just
well,
from
then
that
the idea,
kind of phenomenal.
And I suppose just the second half of that would be that do every single one of these people have a link also back to Webcomic Battle? Because that's what they want to close the loop, you know what I mean?
I haven't asked anyone to do anything like that yet.
I would do it.
Yeah, that's one
like
thing
half
I'm saying.
My page.
Yeah.
Let them talk.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, part of what I'm trying to set up right now is to create a logo that's like I'm a card-carrying member of the Wagon Webcomic Battle.
You know,
excellent.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so eventually I'll see if I can get, if people want to, they can put that on their website and like be part of the, you know, network.
Yeah.
Of game cards.
I wish this...
get like better geek credit.
Yeah. I totally wish that this idea, that this whole thing came out like, you know, 4 years ago when I was still at college. I was the president of the St. Cloud State University Games Club. I was also the event coordinator for basically everything. Basically, when I left, it just kind of went to hell, I guess. As far as I know, it did. Man, I was like going through and I was like raising money and I was like buying a bunch of games and some card games that nobody ever heard of and actually didn't play. But I would totally like be pushing this on everybody. Like, ooh, we got to play this. Most people just played like Settlers of Catan and Smash Brothers, but there was a separate Magic the Gathering club, so mostly, you know, card gamers didn't really come to us. But
yeah.
They're a secluded little group.
We'll just all pre-order Zero decks and take them to conventions with us and old games there.
Hey, that'd be fabulous. I would appreciate, you know, spreading out anywhere you guys can get it. You know?
Okay, and the pre-orders are going to end when the alpha deck is ready, and that's at the end of July?
Alpha and beta are going to be released simultaneously, actually.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I'm trying to see if I can get it finished by the end of July, okay. If we can get enough comics together to build it.
All right, cool. So I may end up pre-ordering a couple more decks for a couple of things. So I was just kind of wondering how much time there might be. But, yeah, this sounds pretty cool. So
I have a little bit of time left, sure.
All right, cool. And that's the same thing, like I mentioned, the contest I was mentioning before. That'll be as soon as I get it up on the site at theshifterarchive.com. I'm going to throw up some Project Wonderful ads, and people have 30 days to get that in, so it's in time for the alpha and beta deck as well.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is awesome.
Good times for all.
Yay! You guys got any last questions?
Yeah, if you pre-order deck zero, is that the full deck?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
If you pre-order, you know, deck zero right now, you will get 42 cards, including 16 character cards, 14 plot devices, 10 bandwidth cards, a reference guide, and a super special awesome extra card, just because I'm a nice guy. Plus, the first 25 people to order a deck will get themselves a shiny hand-picked D20 of their own to roll around.
Ooh. Sweet.
Well, I know, but nowhere on there does it say, like, this is the full deck. You know what I mean?
It's got a picture of it. I certainly hope it would be the full deck.
I'm just saying. I'm just, all right.
quit being skeptical.
Hey, man, I've bought too many things off eBay.
Oh, see, he's been burned.
Well, you're buying off of eBay.
Oh, see, you can't trust eBay. What are you talking about? I bought some Devil May Cry cartoon DVDs, and they were like burns, and they were like...
Oh.
I yelled at him.
Evil.
Guys. Like, I left him negative.
If you see more than four episodes on DVD, it's an illegal copy.
Yeah.
And actually, that's where I go to buy my illegal copies now. I go to eBay. It's like, okay, let me find the two disc set of the entire season of this anime. Boom, there it is. Sweet. And I only pay $20 for it. See, I'm a very bad person. I'm a pirate. I'm poor.
I would have no problem with it being burned. The problem is I use my PS2 as my DVD player, and it won't play in that. So.
Yeah.
Doesn't work for me, so I got pissed off.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. If you're going to give me a pirate copy, make sure it works. That's all.
Right.
Okay, so we won't be teaching ethics anytime soon, but...
I have my... What? I have my standards. I want my stuff to work. What's wrong with that?
It awesome. Is, in fact, a standard.
If you send me another one and it doesn't work, I'll break your kneecaps. I mean, how you like that?
I can't help it. I've got, like, mommy radar is freaking out here, going, now, boys.
Perhaps you should go back into the porn. I think you're more comfortable with that.
I like mommy radar.
Yeah, that's another issue entirely.
Yeah.
We're hoping to eventually cover some adult webcomics on the show. Tom of Xern.com was emailing me asking me because he heard about your guys' your female anatomy class, essentially, more or less, and he wanted to talk about selling art, selling sexual art, which is kind of a subject all of itself, and it's not entirely web comics, but it could prove to be a discussion that it can be, we can go up to the adult stuff and talk about it, but we can also talk about selling artwork in general, because a lot of people do that. Some people will buy a print of this strip, for one, which I'm starting to see more and more.
Well, so, not that, but people sell art right off Comic Space now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they have been for a while. They have been for a while, actually.
Well, would you guys like to do a show basically selling stuff, basically? Selling art?
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you we're going to be we would be talking about selling you know, sexual art, mature art as well.
Wrong. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Sorry. Well, we'll save that towards the end of the show, then you can just leave. Let's see here. I don't know. We got several ideas coming up for. I'm trying to see delay. I'm filibustering to have a decent section of the show before we go to our last break before the last third. We've got a lot of future ideas for the show. Unfortunately, we really can't get to all of them in a timely manner. If you go to the website, webcomicbeacon.com, and look on the left-hand side of upcoming episodes, we have future themes on the back burner. As far as we got adult comics listed, gaming comics, furry comics, stick figure comics, webcomic communities, we hope to really get going and figure out a good format of how to do that without completely going into chaos.
Yay!
I also really want to cover character archetypes. Which would be good for the people still developing their webcomic and such, like characters. I really want to go into advertising, and I'm going to try to get, or Aaron, you try to get Ryan North from, you know, who does Project Wonderful, or at least founded it on. We got to get the Project Wonderful people on, because lots of people use that, and I think a lot of people would want to know about advertising. So if we can get other people that advertise other things or through other ways, try to get them on the show to talk about how they do that. You guys still there?
Actually, I know a person that would love to talk day and night about how much he hates advertising, which is Biff.
From the Book of Biff?
He's tried, like, I've read he's got this million trillion long thread about how much he hates advertising.
Yeah.
Because he has tried, like, everything to get more people. Anyway, sorry.
Well, his ads made me click on his thing, you know.
Yeah, love his ads.
No, just, yeah, but eventually...
Yeah, but he's and ads I... is already...
Sorry.
What?
Okay, problem is... with advertising is even if you have all the money in the world, you still can't advertise everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, no, not. Well, so. Yeah, if you had, it all depends on how effective your ads are as well and where you're placing them and when you're placing them. There's a lot of factors. And
yeah.
Well, in fact, we'll dedicate an entire show to talking about that as soon as we coordinate one. in addition to that, we also kind of got an idea of promoting your webcomic, right, which is, I guess, kind of the same thing. We'll see if it breaks off into two different shows, but it's there. Also, some people have been asking, when do you start selling crap? And that probably isn't a full episode's worth. That's probably, like, just, you know, a part of an episode. And we can
also talk about the kind of crap to sell and how best to sell crap.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, if you have 10 comics, don't sell anything, because you're not going to be at all.
Unless you have a really funny t-shirt idea that has nothing to do with your comic.
Yeah, but that kind of defeats the purpose of asking.
Oh, yeah, tell that to questionable content. Mm-hmm.
Well,
or goats. Who make bazillions of dollars off of shirts.
Yeah, but they have an extensive archive with characters wearing said shirts, so you can kind of relate it to.
Aaron's telling me that beanies would sell.
It would.
It might. Well, 24-hour comics, we'll probably talk about that this fall, and we'll try to set up some sort of... fun thing that probably would be fun for you and horrible for us for 24-hour
hey,
comics
will be
day.
There. October 18th, noon to noon.
Yeah, so we got a ways off for that. We're going to try to talk about conventions, which we might be doing fairly soon. In fact, Tanya, you're going to a convention.
Well, I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con.
And that's the convention.
That is, well, one of two. And actually for webcomics, one of three. Mocha is really big. And then there's a New York Comic-Con that's quite large. And Kineticon, a lot of webcomics go to. But this year, I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con.
So. And when you come back, we'll have a special conventions episode.
Yay!
Good luck.
Just to ramble off of the rest, we also have Restarting Your Webcomic, which may be just a partial episode topic. Webcomic do's and don'ts. It's good to reapproach these ideas every so often for people. And they're, you know, obviously you can do whatever you want. Just understand that there are pros and cons to doing whatever you want. And sometimes there's a lot more cons. But we will go over them anyway. We'll probably make that an open forum show. Another show, we should, you know, just talk about, just have a show where we just talk about our favorite webcomics, you know, just kind of just sit back and just not worry too much about, are we on topic? You know, just be off topic and talk about our favorite webcomics. Self-insertion characters, putting yourself in a comic. This is something I really want to talk about.
My whole comic is that.
Right.
But you do change some of the names too. And are you protecting the innocent?
You know what? You want to know the big secret? It's
what?
All our middle names.
That's it. Well, okay, you ruined the suspense.
Yeah.
We want to do another show on coloring. Want to do another show on superhero webcomics, because our last one, which is kind of a combination of... It was mostly we're talking about print stuff. So do another superhero one. I know Ben Carver wants to come back, and I think with Al Schroeder of... Ben Carver's of The Point Guardian, and Al Schroeder... if I'm saying his name right, is of Mind Mistress, and I know that they're both interested in coming on to this show, so I think that should be something good we could do later this summer. Drama behind the scenes is another idea, which could be a fun episode, because, also, whoring yourself. If you have no shame
I have no shame.
In dealing with your webcomic. I wasn't really sure what I'm thinking about with this, but basically being a sellout and maybe making money on something that some people don't think that you deserve. It could be a touchy episode if we do it. Working as a part of a team would be really good for some people. I know that.
Yeah.
And also tracking stats. That might be just a partial episode, but...
I've been really shocked. There's so much confusion over your stats. I've stopped advising people because I got tired of saying the same thing.
Well, it could be an interesting episode. And if anybody here has heard something they really like, go to our forums. Go to our forums, webcomicbeacon.com. And look on the left and click on the official forum, which is on thegeekmedia.com. And, you know, make a post, and maybe the audience will dictate how soon or how much faster we'll organize a particular episode you guys want to hear coming sooner. But right now, we got to go to our second break. Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming on the show and talking about your Wagon webcomic battle trading card game.
All right, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. And... hopefully we'll have some webcomic review to play after this, and we'll see you after the break.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Savory with a webcomic review.
This week, I want to point you towards a newspaper-style comic, my particular milieu. Newspaper-style comics, as we've discussed before on The Beacon, can come with their own particular set of restrictions. Because what we newspaper-style guys are trying to create is something akin to what you see on the funny page, well, hopefully better, or what was once on the funny page, we tend to avoid the obvious items found in many webcomics today, namely naughty language, overt or graphic violence and sex, angry worldviews, and so forth. In some ways, that makes doing our kind of webcomic particularly hard in a webcomic world that routinely has all of those things I just mentioned. We seem tame by comparison, maybe even old-fashioned. Still, there's something about this kind of webcomicry that works. It's a known quantity. You can share it at work without fear of the HR Gestapo coming down on you. You can send it to your mom or your grandma, your kids or your pastor, or even a potential date. It works for a wide spectrum of people and age groups, even if those people aren't hanging out in WoW forums or on prawn sites or even online at all. So the comic I have for you this time is all of those things and aimed towards the sci-fi aficionado on top of that. This one is One Small Step by Joe Condra. It's basically about a human thrust into a bizarre galaxy that's one part Hitchhiker's Guide, one part Star Trek, one part Mystery Science Theater 3000, and one part Charlie Brown. Our main character is named Doug. One day, Doug's boss gets a new hybrid minivan for the company. When Doug messes around with it, he activates the minivan's hidden hyperdrive circuits and he's whisked off into outer space. He soon meets QWERTY, an alien engineer who travels with him throughout the galaxy. Other cast members include QWERTY's cousins, Charles, Nelson, and Riley, a Ghostbuster-style Slimer character, and an omnipotent voiceover being known as Dawn from Pardo, as in Saturday Night Live. Together, they run into problems that are very near and dear to the hearts of sci-fi fans everywhere, including recently being trapped in a holodeck mishap. That's one of the things that's so cool about this comic. You can tell Kandra's a sci-fi fan, and everything from Star Trek to Doctor Who can crop up as fodder for gags in his cartoon universe. The Doug character works very much like the Spock or Data characters from Star Trek. They were essentially aliens in a human world and gave audiences an objective viewpoint of human behavior and culture. Doug is the reverse of this, much the same as the Dent character from Hitchhiker's Guide was, giving us a human's viewpoint of an alien world. This is a fun little comic. The artwork is one part Peanuts and one part Drabble, and the humor is straightforward in all ages, just the sort of thing you'd expect to find in a newspaper-style comic strip. If you're a fan of sci-fi or a fan of newspaper-style strips, you're sure to find something to like here. So do check it out at www.osscomic.com. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
This is Byron of StripFight.org bringing you the weekly ringside update. Last week, round 161 broken toys went to Jacob of AwesomePedia.org. Jacob showed he had the spirit of the mountain and blasted the competition. This week, our fighters are taking on round 162, the cake robot. Steve shows he's got spirit. Nico gets fired up. John goes nuts, then commando. Jacob struggles with himself. Tim goes for the top. Helen follows the dream, Aaron cooks, and Lance gets this party started. In all, we have 8 contenders battling for this week's title. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 163, Inner Animal, still has a few days left before the deadline on June 22nd. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
Wait, what? How is this a milestone?
50 episodes.
It's only 50.
Oh, we're not celebrating 50 episodes anymore?
No, we never did.
100 or more?
100, 200, 300, 400.
Okay,
1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year.
Don't celebrate it then.
Okay, I won't celebrate it, but I'll at least mention it.
Well, I'm sorry that it's not enough episodes for you.
It's not. It's it's not enough episodes to be on a milestone. Emmy at emmycomic.com, we're back, by the way, does not have enough to be a milestone mentioned, but of course we'll mention it because I wanted to say the word blogic on the show.
And
it's
news.
It's essentially a blogic.
Blomic.
Blogic with a G. Emmycomic.com. I kind of like the art style, actually. Fairly simple, but clear and nice looking. I'll probably check that out. This is going to go into the news. Peter Turkelich has bowed out, and I figure right now is we've had enough going through people for the impression being impressionators. Decided to revamp the entire section and call it the Webcomic Searchlight. Or Spotlight. I haven't quite decided yet. Wait, Tanya, are you back yet?
I'm back.
Okay. So the webcomic, the Beacon Searchlight or Spotlight, I don't know which sounds better, but basically, what we're going to be doing... Wait, am I recording? Yes, I am recording. Sweet. Basically, we'll be taking submissions. People can submit, and I recommend everybody who's already submitted and hasn't heard anything, resubmit and mention that you haven't heard anything. And I want to try to get to yours first. We'll do one or two where we'll look at the comic and give our basically our quick impressions. I am lifting all but one restriction on this. Your comic at least has to have 10 to 15 strips in it,
right,
for us to look at it. If you could have 1,000 strips in it, or 20 strips in it, whatever. We'll take a look at it. It's not a review. It's just a quick impression of us taking a look at the site, thumbing through a few things, poking around a little bit, looking at your site. Anyone who does submit has to understand that we may hate it. And we will say so.
Okay,
so no spines of jello allowed.
No, I'm throwing it out there right now. I will not say a bad thing about any comic.
Well, we're not going to be dicks about it. I mean, we'll say if we don't like it, of course. But I'm not going to be like, oh my god, this thing sucks. We're not going to be like that. We'll say if we don't like it, but we're not going to be dicks about it. At least, Tanya?
I'm never a dick about anything.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything bad about anyone's comic.
Alrighty then. But that's the plan. That's the plan. And if we don't have any submissions, Aaron, Tanya, you're free to bring comics that you've seen and would like us to take a look at. I talked to Tanya. And I sent her one, and I didn't get a chance to look at Emmy here. I mean, I said a little bit about me looking at it. Aaron, can you at least say a little bit of what's it about, since we'll kind of informally start it off here?
Well, she's got kind of like how Tanya's got a somewhat, you know, exciting life from time to time doing Tanya-related things. Emmy has like an exciting life and exaggerates it a little bit too, and so she like went to a Kiss concert, for example, and so there's an episode of her dressing up as Kiss and scaring the guy she lives with in the middle of the night. It's hilarious. And then, you know, there's another episode where she has a bad dream, and so she made a comic about it there. And then she does little arcs too. There was an arc about a baby, and there was an arc about her corrupting a small child and getting her hair color something she knew her mom wouldn't like. So it's something fun to read.
All right. And, ooh, a shower scene. That's strip 44 for those interested. You don't get to see too much, but I just see more skin.
And the thing is it's not like normal comics where everything's all straight and flat. Even if you go to the shower scene, you notice after reading it several times that you're seeing her through the eyes of the spider, but you don't realize it until the... And it's unique things like that that make her comic so damn fun to read, because she's always doing that, it seems like. You read it, and the first three frames, and then the last frame throws you. So, like, 45, you know, you see a guy twisting and turning, you're like, what the hell's going to happen? And all of a sudden, nah, she's there in Kiss gear. You know what I mean?
Well, something to take a look at.
or like you see her, you know, 47. She's standing in a train. Okay, why is she standing in a train, guys? Like gross pit stains. No, she hates the summer in the train, which I can totally relate with. So I don't know. All her episodes seem to like talk right to me. So I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
All right, so that's that one. And the emails that you were not getting, because apparently I was using your wrong email address for the past week, which I got to resend all of them to you. I was talking to Aaron, talking to Tanya about the webcomic Blip, which is at drunkduck.com/BLIP. They got like 79 strips right now. Now, I really like this comic. The one bad thing is it only updates weekly, if that. If I may tell you a little bit about this comic, it basically revolves this one woman, and she's kind of had crap handed to her all her life, and she has a few friends which she talks to, and as you going through the strip, you learn that it's not as simple as just some sort of like, you know, simple comic where her life sucks and this is the story of her life sucking and how she copes with it or not. But you learn that essentially it's God is actually against her because she wasn't supposed to be born. And so she's screwing up fate for various people that she interacts with. So God has sent angels to try to kill her. Or something. I don't know. The whole plot isn't revealed, but it's kind of interesting. But it's got like a lot of, you know, relationship stuff in there as well. So it's, you know, it's a mix between surface story and background story. But I think it's cute enough, and I keep checking back, you know, every week because I'm interested. But I like it. Tanya, did you get a chance to thumb at it at all? Or?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of looking over it a little bit now. Did she recently have a guest artist or? Like the artist in the newest, or the art in the very newest one, and then you go back like two or three, looks a lot different. So, because I'm new to this, I don't know which is the
could be. It could be just a bit of inconsistency. Like I said, it doesn't update that frequently, so there may be some inconsistency in the art, I'm sure.
It's cute. I mean, visually, I hate the background. I think I mentioned that. But,
yeah, the site, it's kind of crazy looking.
Okay. You guys, I literally shivered. Literally shivered when the site loaded on my screen. Literally. And that, like, I don't think that ever happened.
Oh, Mike did leave. Okay.
Yeah, he did. He hung up a while ago.
Oh, good. Thanks for coming. Anyway, yeah.
He's like, not like I have any...
I started screaming.
He's like, I don't have anything better to do. And then leaves.
Well, see, that's the thing. I still don't know how to say goodbye properly. So I'm leaving it up to them now. If you want to leave, go ahead. But we're going to keep talking.
They just drive people to a slow suicide instead of offering them.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, this is essentially what the little beacon searchlights are going to be.
Tanya's
turn.
Oh, go.
Go to osscomic.com. And this is One Small Step. And it's kind of a cute, punny little sci-fi fantasy.
Punny.
It starts out with a guy. He thinks that his little hybrid car has maybe been put together incorrectly. He's reading the Japanese manual. So he switches some things around and accidentally shifts into hyperdrive and takes off and crash lands on this planet. And it's it's about his adventures in space from that point forward with his little alien friends. And it's actually really cute. I like it. It is pretty punny. But, yeah. And it's definitely PG.
Definitely PG. You make it sound like it's some big warning.
No, the reason that I say that is because I've found that when I mention comics on the show that I like,
yeah,
I get emails from people saying, you know, I expected something totally different that was perfectly acceptable for children. And I
if Tanya says something, it is almost never perfectly acceptable for anybody.
So I like to mention that it is in fact a PG comic.
Well, and also you gotta remember, when you say PG, it doesn't necessarily mean boobies. It could just mean kids aren't gonna understand what the hell Fellatio Flavian fireworm means.
What? Fellatio?
No, that's different.
Oh, I thought you were mispronouncing a word.
Yeah, Fellatio Flavian fireworm.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, a kid's not gonna and the little radiation symbols on the cups and.
And if you're not at least 13, if you're under 13 and you're on the internet, you're on the internet illegally, badly. You're not supposed to be on the internet. Parents' permission only. So, you know, everything. Basically, anybody who's online should be at least PG-13 level. And if not, if there's some kid going to some site that's under 13 and seeing PG-13 material, that means a parent is not being responsible.
Bad parents.
Naughty, naughty, Kool-Aid.
Either way, right now the two main characters, are stuck in a hologram unit.
Can the alien turn into anything? Because I see him in a raft at one point.
Not anything, but, well, at least not to my knowledge. Anything.
Form of a raft.
Doing.
Doing, exactly.
Doing.
It's kind of cute.
I've never seen him actually make a doing noise, but,
Huh. It could be in color, but,
Oh, there we go again.
Yeah. I didn't say it. I was going to.
Because it's newspaper. It's newspaper style, and so.
Right. You know, newspapers now print in color, right?
You know, only on Sundays.
No, they don't.
Okay. Well, none of our newspapers are.
Well, your states suck. Because I get color. I get weekly colored comics.
Now she owns more than one state.
No, I was including yours too.
Dude, just don't talk about the.
I don't care. I'm just kidding. Jeez.
Okay.
Minnesota's got its fault too.
Don't talk about the Pacific Northwest like that. We will rain down on you.
You've already done that enough. Have you seen Iowa?
Yeah, I know.
No shit.
I know.
I saw this horrible picture of, like, a child's rocking horse floating next to a street sign. And I thought, that is wrong. That is so wrong. That's, like, 18 feet of water. Crazy. It's, like, big, like... You know, none of those people had flood insurance. If you're in Iowa, you don't buy flood insurance. You buy tornado insurance, but you don't buy flood insurance.
Yeah, it's really terrible, you know, and then the awesome stuff we're going... This is not what the webcomic Beacon is about. Stop talking about current events.
It's about one small step.
These shows are supposed to be timeless. That's why I never mention a date in any of them.
Oh, don't worry, I will be underwater for a while.
Anyway...
I'm sorry to everyone in Iowa.
Yeah, me too.
They aren't listening right now.
Yeah, they're underwater. I'm going to get mail for this.
And I'm an atheist. I don't even worry about it. I still think we're going to hell.
We're already there. Anyway. Whatever. Anyway, so that's the Beacon Searchlight. And feel free to submit yours. Understand that we will be fairly honest in our opinion. And, of course, we are not fully... reading it in depth, so it is a quick impression. It's not a review. So also, you know, take what we say with a grain of salt, of course. And if you start emailing us a bunch of "grr, you don't like my thing, so that means you're stupid," well, then we're gonna make fun of you on the air, and there's gonna be other people that are gonna be making fun of you too for being dumb, because we have power.
That was very much a review.
I will bring down the rain on your state.
The whole state.
Your whole state will flood if you email us crap.
Anyway.
Sorry.
The other thing that we're going to be revamping and bringing back eventually, as soon as we figure out how, are the webcomic brainstorms. Aaron, I think you kind of had the most ideas for this in the direction.
Oh, yeah.
And could you give us a little... taste of what you've been developing?
Yeah. So we're not fixing your website. If your comic has stalled, if you're getting more and more burnt out, you keep wanting to take breaks, and you're delayed, or your Sunday night turns into Monday night, turns into like the next Sunday night. and you can't even meet your own deadlines. That just actually happened to me. But it wasn't because I was running out of ideas. So if you ever feel like you still love your comic, you know what I mean? You still love it, and you love your characters. You've been doing it for a year, and you just can't figure out what the heck to do with it, but you still love it, you know, we may choose you and are, you know, do you want to be the next webcomic star show? And we will brainstorm it out for you using our 7-step program, and for only $499.99, we will brainstorm your comic out for you. Checks payable to Fess.
In new and exciting directions, breathe a little life into it, as it were.
Yeah, and make it fun for you again.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, but again, no spines of Jello here.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be like that. We're not going to be telling people their comic sucks. We're going
to take
what they have.
Yeah.
And mushroom clouded out, not a blame storm, a brainstorm.
Right, but of course, some people really don't like to hear change as much. And it's like you know, you're here. You'd be coming on for a reason. You have to understand that. For one, we may say this isn't working, or maybe something like that. So you know, don't jump on, be super defensive or whatever. But also, I think we can also expect to hear a lot of crazy ideas going into this for the sheer joy of thinking of how funny that would be. And sometimes even then, you get some great ideas out of the surreal suggestions.
Well, yeah, and you can bounce stuff off us. We can bounce stuff off you. But I think the thing is, if you come on the show, not just don't get pissed at us because I'll flood your state, but but be open, like Fess said, be open to new ideas, because maybe the reason why your comic is stuck is because you've been closed to the new ideas in the first place. And we're not saying turn your comic into, like, you know, MA-17 Booby Bar 2, but which is a name I just made up. I'm going to get the domain right now. But, you know, so we won't just I mean, maybe at the end of the show we'll say, or try putting boobies in it, maybe at the end. But,
because that's what we do.
I know, because at the end, you know, if you want to make money, boobs. But no, it's about breathing new life and making you happy to do it again by giving you something to do with it again. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a bit different than what I was thinking it was going to be. I'm gonna talk with Tom and Eric. And see if they're still kind of interested in being in on this. Because I know their interests were from starting from the ground up. So maybe there's two separate ideas here. I'll talk to them about it and see if they'll be on board for this, or if they want to do something else on another show. Or I'm not sure how much a response we're going to get with people with existing comics. So who knows?
I already know people.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have to start setting some stuff up and... do you think we could do that? Everything of what you're saying in a 25-minute segment? Or do you think it would take more?
No, because that's the beauty of it, is that there are plenty, and remember, we just had a show about webcomic burnout. There are plenty of people, and that dude has a lot of episodes. There's a lot of people that are at a crossroads where they're like, do I keep doing new episodes? Do I go and redraw my whole archive like Invincible Jeff is doing? And like, tons of comic people. I can draw better now. So they redo the whole thing instead of moving forward. Then they redo half of it and they're like, ugh.
Even occasionally, like really, really standard comics. Christopher Straub, I think it was, of Starslip Crisis. Twittered a little thing saying, you know, I've completely written myself into a corner. I have no idea where to go with the plot.
Yeah.
You know, even really established comics, really talented comics, occasionally hit a roadblock and aren't really sure where to go. And that's where kind of brainstorm sessions really help, because, you know, you get all these crazy ideas, and they usually spark good ideas.
All right, cool. Well, we'll have to set that up, and since it can take a third of the show, we can probably pair those up with... you know, showcase community showcase episodes or other short topic ideas. That's really good, because I'm really hoping for some more smaller things so we can get more done instead of rambling on and on and on. But as far as rambling on and on and on, our past few episodes have been fairly short in comparison. We have like 45-minute one last time. But
It was like 46 minutes.
This is going to be a long show. I've already got at least an hour here. And I haven't submitted at this point in time, put in all the segments yet, so people should be happy about this. But we are running out of time, but we have to do the milestones.
Yes.
Okay, I got a few right here that I am going to read. 8-bit theater at, whatchamacallit? 8-bit theater at nuclearpower.com. With a K in nuclear, has hit at least 1,000 comics. Suck today.
Add a zero.
Good grief.
1,000 comic strips, 8-bit theater. Check it out at nuclearpower.com. We also have, if anyone's heard of The Ten Doctors, it is a really cool Doctor Who webcomic. Well, 10 doctors in it. It's really cool, and I have not really seen much more than maybe a couple episodes of Doctor Who, and I found it really cool, because I already kind of have like the basic idea of what Doctor Who is about, and they've hit 100 comics, and you can find that at shipsinker.com/wordpress. There are a couple of other sketches and kind of like a short story of something else kind of mixed in his WordPress a bit. Just go with it. Just start at the beginning. It's really cool. Hooky Dookie Panic has hit 3 years and has ended. So that's two milestones in one. If your webcomic has ended, like it's a part of the story has ended, not like you gave up on it ended. It's finally completed. That is also a milestone, I would have to say. So Hooky Dookie Panic at HookyDookiePanic.com is finally done. Hooky Dookie Panic. Hooky Dookie Panic. It's a fun word. We also have another one out there. At outtherecomic.com has hit 2 years, and metrophor at metrophor.org has also hit 2 years. So go ahead and check those out. Aaron, did you have another what milestone?
No, because last week we did Dutch's, so I don't count on.
Oh right, you were trying to do imicomic.com as a milestone, but 50 doesn't count. It has to be 100, 200, 300, etc. And
or years,
or it has ended legitimately. So there you go. That is episode 29 of the Webcomic Beacon. Thanks for coming with us. Don't forget to check out WagonWebcomicBattle.com and pre-order your Zero deck today. Also check out in the future theshifterarchive.com to get in on the contest in order to be a special Jenny Everywhere card. Basically, first place, second place, and third place will be winners. That is it for the show. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com.
I'm Tanya from Betapwn.com.
I was going to let you go first. I'm Tanya from Betapwn.com.
I'm Aaron. Aaron TeebleComic.com.
Guys, it's been great. Enjoy this long show, which you already have. And see you next week.
Bye.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
It's a little Blomic, kind of like Tanya's is.
Blomic?
Yeah, blog comic.
Oh, I call those Blogix.
Blogix? You call them Blog... I can't even say that word.
Blogic.
No.
Blogic.
No.
Blogic.
Sounds like you're a retarded fish frog.